Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden and Matt running the board.
It is I.
It is July 2nd, 2026, in the year of our Lord. 65 degrees here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We're supposed to get to a high of 70, nice blue skies. Let's enjoy it now. I know I was able to get out and mow the lawn and everything with a forecast that it was going to rain, so I put down fertilizer, and then it didn't rain. You know what the problem with that was, though, Matt?
What was that?
I didn't wash the car.
You know,
had I washed the car, then it probably would have rained.
Yep, that's... I think that's just a curse that we all have. Every adult that likes to keep their car clean, the moment you wash it, it's raining 20 minutes later.
I know. But that's in the forecast for this weekend, though. At least a 60% chance tomorrow, and Saturday is a 70% chance. But we need the rain so we can keep the fires down, because we don't want to be like Colorado, Utah, or Arizona right now, for sure.
Absolutely not.
Anyways... if you want to call in, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. That is 458-8255. You can also live stream the show at any time by clicking on that big orange ball that says listen live at the KFARradio.com website. Or we got a couple apps that you can use as well. So you can find them on the Google Store or on the Apple app place. Let's start the show. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, your state of Alaska Constitution says the right to keep and bear arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? The individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of the state. Meaning, Los Anchorage can't make their own rules. Imagine that. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be on July 9th from 5:30 to 7. That's 1730 to 1900 for you military-type folks. That'll be located at the TVSA range over at 1230 TVSA Way. That's across from the Fred's West, in case you need some better orientation from the macro view. The discussion will be preparing for your moose hunt. What do you think they could be discussing?
I have a feeling it rides along the line of possibly trapping bears, but I could be absolutely incorrect.
What? Man, that was a divergent thought. ACHP class for July 18th and 19th is sold out. Give us an email and we'll get you on the standby list. We're also looking at possible dates for August because there's such a high demand right now. Everybody wanting to get there, at least their NICS exemption, if not reciprocity for the other states that recognize the Alaska concealed handgun. Remember, I just got to say this and throw this out there, though. The entire left coast does not recognize the state of Alaska's permit. That would be Washington, Oregon, and California. The left coast.
And pretty much the top right of the United States as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to be safe, you know, just steer clear of the entire West Coast and then the entire northeast of America, you're going to be fine for the most part. This is not legal advice.
Yeah.
Have to throw that.
But we have stated a Holiday Inn Express. Having said that, though, there are parts of those states that are literally free areas.
Yep.
Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, outside of the major metropolitan areas that control everything in those states. We're starting to see that same thing as applicable to California as well. So what do they call that? The Free State of Jefferson? We never talked about that before.
I
thought it was interesting. All those areas wanted to secede to Idaho. And then it would only be a matter of time before they screwed that state up, too.
Yep.
All right. So anyways, member C4 Training Group will be offering their carbine for home defense class. That's going to tie into our talk today about Independence Day.
Yes. Believe Absolutely.
It or not. It's every individual American's right to keep and bear arms. Therefore, you need to know how to use the most common rifle in our nation. So those are on our calendar at c4traininggroup.com. But I want to get into this week's in firearm history real quick, because this is pretty cool. This week in firearms history is dominated by one of the most important technologically revealing battles in American history. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. July 1st and 3rd, or through the 3rd, of 1863.
It's my father's birthday.
I bet the hammer could call in and tell us something about that.
Oh, he definitely could.
But without him calling in right now, we know that it is the Battle of Gettysburg. That's right. The Battle of Gettysburg was the largest and bloodiest battle ever fought on North American soil. More than 160,000 soldiers clashed over 3 days in southern Pennsylvania, resulting in roughly 51,000 casualties. Now, from a firearms perspective, it was a dramatic demonstration of how far small arms technology had advanced since the Revolutionary War, and how deadly the rifled musket had become. The dominant weapon on the field was the 58 caliber rifled musket, primarily the U.S. Model 1861 Springfield and the British Pattern 1853 Enfield. 1861 Springfield, isn't that the one that's on our EIB and CIB?
I think so.
I think that's the one that's on there. Yeah, why don't you Google that real quick for us?
It makes sense.
Both fired the mini ball, a hollow base conical bullet that expanded to engage the rifling. So it essentially had a soft lead hole in the bottom of it. We can just call it that for simplicity. That when it was fired, it expanded to engage the rifling, create a good seal and everything else like that. So it was pretty revolutionary for the time. What's interesting, though, side note, is the mini ball was actually invented in 1840. And now we're just getting around. I guess things move slow back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like molasses in January.
Yeah.
Distribution routes weren't very good. Even though the French gave us all these rifles, I guess they didn't want to share their mini ball with us.
Seems like mail and muzzle velocity back then were pretty slow.
Mail and muzzle velocity. The Pony Express. This gave the average infantryman an effective accurate range of 400 to 500 yards, which was a massive leap from the smoothbore muskets of earlier years, which, in case you don't remember, was only 50 to 100.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. I think what was huge about this is it started, the Army had to start getting away from the Napoleonic techniques, like the formations and marching in line, and or what we would call Marine Corps assault.
Yep.
Right? Hit the beach, Sarge. But nonetheless, yeah, they had to start getting away from that because the systems were getting more accurate with longer ranges. So Pickett's Charge on July 3rd, the most famous demonstration of the rifle musket's power. Roughly 12,000 to 13,000 Confederates advanced across open ground into the concentrated fire of Union rifle muskets and artillery. The attack was shattered with enormous losses, proving that frontal assaults against prepared defenders armed with rifled weapons were extraordinarily costly. The cavalry, the Union cavalry, especially on July 3rd, east of Gettysburg, had access to breech-loading carbines, sharps, etc., and in limited numbers, Spencer repeating rifles, notably the 5th Michigan Cavalry. These weapons gave them significant firepower advantage in both mounted and dismounted fighting. An estimated 250 tons of small arms ammunition were fired in the battle, a staggering amount that underscored both the volume of fire achievable with rifled muskets and the logistical demands of the new technology. Man, the supply lines would have been horrendous.
They absolutely would have. Also, really quick, looked up that rifle. We were wrong. It's the Springfield Model 1795 is what's on the EIB and CIB.
Right, which on the EIB is still cocked.
Yes.
On the CIB is uncocked. It's been fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
And the reason for that, historically, it's the first significant long gun to be manufactured at a United States federal armory.
Yeah, that would have been on one of our like NCO board questions. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, good thing I haven't done that for like 20 years. All right, so why does Gettysburg matter in firearm history? Well, Gettysburg demonstrated the rifled musket at its peak effectiveness. It also foreshadowed the future. The battle made it clear that faster firing weapons, breech loaders and repeaters, would be needed to overcome the defensive power of rifled small arms. Within a few years, the U.S. Army would begin adopting breech loading systems, and by 1870s, 1880s, repeaters and magazine-fed rifles would become standard. This week doesn't feature any major new patents or inventions on the scale of Colt, Browning, or Glock, but the Battle of Gettysburg stands as one of the clearest real-world case studies of how firearm technology shapes tactics and outcomes on the battlefield. And I think that was probably one of the turning points in, like, this, like, marching in line against dug-in small arms infantry and artillery is freaking stupid.
Yeah, going from formation warfare to essentially like the start of dynamic warfare and having a mix of guerrilla warfare, what we saw with the rise of the United States and kind of blending those in.
Well, yeah, like Rogers Rangers.
Yep.
Like back in the 1700s.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. Anyways, as you were saying.
But no, yeah. We have a short amount of time left, but I've been to the East Coast and seen these historical battlegrounds. Man, do movies and history, they really don't do justice in showing just how small these areas where thousands of people were dying. There's just hordes of people waving over each other and just such a close proximity battle. And then you get to some of the ones that are later and it's wider because they were using that dynamic warfare.
Right. Cool. Well, we got to go into our first break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to go into my editorial about our special Independence Day edition here at Shooter's Corner. We'll be right back after this break so we can get our Valdez fishing report in.
Woo!
Woo! And also, stay tuned here, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio. Shane Miller is leading the Valdez Halibut Derby, and he caught his leading fish on a jigging rod. Jigging is not just working well for halibut anglers in the Sound. Sean Pender of Carabel, Florida, was fishing for halibut last week when a big salmon shark hit his line. Pender thought he had a derby winner when he initially felt the fish. He was jigging with light tackle and said he had to really fight to keep it on the line. He spent the better part of an hour getting the shark into the boat, and when they got it on the deck, it measured 98 inches. At the weigh-in station, the shark broke the halibut derby rope as it was being hoisted up. It registered a weight of 280 pounds, gutted. Charter Captain Josh Hughes of Hofstede Fishing Company estimates the live weight at 380 to 400 pounds. There's no prize for shark in Valdez, but there is big money on the line for halibut and salmon. The weights of winners are always changing, but one constant in the Halibut Derby is the $10 price tag to buy a daily Halibut Derby ticket and the chance to win $10,000 cash. Miller's clearly in the lead with that 184.6-pound halibut. Chris Bass of Shreveport, Louisiana, got on the leaderboard in second place with a 139.4-pound halibut. Currently holding on to third place is Steve Hilton of Boise, Idaho, with a 136.4-pound halibut.
Coming to Valdez? Stay at Valdez RV Park. These TripAdvisor reviews tell you all you need to know.
Each site was clearly labeled, ground was graded well, and it's so close to the harbor.
Owners are friendly and accommodating, and the laundry, shower, and bathrooms were very clean. They even had s'mores at the fire pit.
Visit ValdezRVPark.com today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it have a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms today. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 74. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tonight. Lows around 51. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, high of 72, cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, and we got Matt running the board here at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hey, so before we went on break, we were talking about, strangely enough, the 1795 Springfield on the EIB, the Expert Infantryman's Badge, for those that don't know, and then it was also the CIB, which is Combat Infantryman's Badge. Anyways, what was the other one that you found, a Carcano rifle?
Yeah, the Carcano rifle. Let me look up.
There was other EIBs and CIBs that are made with another type of rifle as well. Like, we were like looking at these things, trying to find them like on eBay or something.
Yeah,
like,
good luck one.
Yeah. But you found one that was like made out of silver as well,
yeah,
or something
so
like that.
Yeah, Vietnam
for like,
era one for $3,000.
With a Carcano on it, or
no,
with the 1795?
That's just 1795. I can't find a single Carcano EIB.
Could you imagine showing up like at the infantryman's ball with a Carcano rifle or CIB on it? That would be freaking awesome.
Everyone looks at your chest immediately when you walk in anything.
But if you walk in with something unique like that,
like where'd you get that knot? Is that stolen valor? Like, no, I got a cool story about this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to get into our special edition of Shooter's Corner here. We're going to talk about Independence Day now. And this is my editorial, obviously, for today. Because as we gather to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation's founding, it is fitting to reflect on one of the cornerstones of American liberty, the Second Amendment. This right to keep and bear arms is not merely a policy preference. It is integral. Integral to our survival as a free republic for 2.5 centuries. The Second Amendment recognizes the fundamental human right of self-defense and the collective capacity of a free people to resist tyranny. Our founders understood that an armed citizenry serves as both a deterrent to foreign aggression and a safeguard against domestic overreach. From the Revolutionary War militias that secured our independence to the citizen soldiers who defended the Union in time of crisis, the right to bear arms has been inseparable from the American experiment. It has enabled ordinary citizens to protect their families, communities, and nation when called upon. This right has contributed directly to our endurance as a sovereign people through wars, economic challenges, and internal divisions. We are fortunate beyond measure compared with citizens of many other nations. In countries where the individual right to armed self-defense is heavily restricted or non-existent, populations often faced greater vulnerability to both criminal violence and government abuse. History shows that disarmed societies have frequently fallen under authoritarian control. Here in the United States, the Second Amendment empowers law-abiding citizens to defend themselves effectively, fostering a culture of responsibility and resilience that has helped sustain our republic. Yet today, we must confront a deliberate effort to divide us. Political parties and factions benefit when Americans are pitted against one another, whether along partisan, cultural, or ideological lines. When we expend our energy fighting each other, we risk losing sight of the greater threats to our shared liberties. Division distracts us from the common defense of constitutional principles, including the right to protect ourselves and our families. True strength lies in unity around the foundational values that define us as Americans: individual liberty, self-reliance, and the rule of law. On this Independence Day, let us recommit to these principles. Let us set aside manufactured divisions and stand together in defense of the rights that have preserved our nation for 250 years. Train diligently. Teach the next generation the importance of responsible firearm ownership, and remain vigilant. An informed and united citizenry is the ultimate guardian of freedom. As we enjoy fireworks, family gatherings, and expressions of patriotism, remember the words of the Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The ability to defend those rights is what has made the American story possible. This is Chuck Indereed, and stay safe, train often, and defend your rights. Happy Independence Day. And I think probably You know, I had somebody the other day ask me, it was like, hey, so are you like, how do you like lean? Are you left? Are you right? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Or like, what are you? Like, I'm politically homeless.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that. And I think when people hear that, they think more centralist. You're pulling from both sides. You can agree to some things, disagree with another. But God, Chuck, you know, I got to tell you, that's the great thing about being an American is I don't have to have a stamp next to my name that says this is what I'm voting for. This is what I, here's my political system that I have to believe in. And I know you're the same way. And I think a lot of our friend group is pretty similar in that aspect of I believe in what's right, what's been given to us and what is morally justifiably right, what has been proven to be right and what is just down to earth, you know, going with the Ten Commandments, going through all these things and not following a political basis or bias. And I think both sides don't like hearing that. You're not a Republican, you're a Democrat. Oh, you're not a Democrat, you're a Republican. They don't like hearing that you don't care. It's not that you don't care, but it's that you're not aligning yourself. There's no allegiance to one side or the other. You're aligning yourself to our country.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we're starting to see now is, especially with social media, is the programming of people more and more and more. And like I said, the more that they can divide us, the less we tend to look up and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we need to start paying attention to what they're doing. Like, literally. There is a deliberate effort to keep people divided, and we start to see it more and more. So, oh, man. So, we got a few. Another thing that we need to do, I want to talk more about our Independence Day and bring that back into the Shooter's Corner realm and how it is applicable to, I don't know, firearms of today as to firearms of yesteryear.
Yeah.
And I think let's just jump down that path here a little bit. So let's go back to a cold April morning in 1775, right? So let's just imagine, if you will, that you're a farmer or a tradesman in Lexington or Concord. I know we've talked about this a couple times in the past. So you hear the British are coming, not just to collect taxes, but to seize the guns, powder, and ammunition you and your neighbors have stored. And remember, back in those days, they didn't have like a boat and say, oh, my stuff fell in the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
like you see a lot of people posting on social media now, what? I don't have any guns.
All my stuff was lost in a boating accident.
Yeah, exactly. All my stuff was lost in a boating accident. Which is kind of funny. Let me go down another rabbit hole. Have you seen some of these states that have like now you have to report within 24 hours of whether or not you lost your stuff?
Yep.
You know what they're doing? They're going to try to get the serial numbers from you, the make and models. If that stuff shows up, they're going to charge you with false report.
They're building a case.
They're building a case.
Everything you do is building a case.
Everything. Hence the reason why social media and all these other stuff is developing what? A pattern of life.
Yep.
If you think those data centers are out there to just like store stuff, no. They are building a pattern of life on you.
Yep. You essentially have a target package against every U.S. citizen. Well, every citizen across the planet has one, but specifically in the U.S. where we are the most feared because we are the strongest country on the planet, they keep it very tight against us.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anywho, before we have to go to our mandatory break. You hear that the British are coming, not just to collect taxes, but to seize the guns, powder, and ammunition you and your neighbors have stored. You grab your musket or your rifle, kiss your family goodbye, and head out to stand with your fellow citizens. That man was the Minuteman. 250 years later, the tools have changed dramatically, but the spirit that sent him out that door must never change. Today, we're talking about the arms of 1776 versus the arms we have now and why the spirit of the Minuteman is more important than ever. In 1775 and 1776, there was no single American military rifle. The men who answered the call at Lexington and Concord carried whatever they had. The most common arm on both sides was the Brown Bess. The British land pattern musket, a 75 caliber smoothbore flintlock, heavy, often over 10 pounds with a bayonet fixed. A well-trained soldier could fire 3 to 4 rounds per minute as at typical. And remember, I think even during the Civil War, they were down to 2 to 3 rounds per, right? At typical battle ranges, it was a volley weapon more than a precision one. Yeah, so that's why those Napoleonic-like techniques of battle could work.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They were going against archers shooting a lead
essentially just
featherless arrow
turning a platoon into a blunderbuss trying to hit something.
We got lucky.
We got one.
A typical battle ranges, it was a volley weapon. That's funny. So it was like a plunging fire, if you know anything about machine guns. The Continental Army later received thousands of Charleville muskets from France. Did I say that right? I thought it would just sound French. It wouldn't be Charleville. It would have to be Charleville.
Charleville. Well, the American way, and it's Charlesville. That's what we're going to say. Charlesville.
Yes. Named after me. Slightly lighter, 69 caliber, and considered a bit more refined, still smooth bore, still flintlock. You know what was also amazing, though, is notice it says 10 pounds with bayonet fixed. All of these, during that time frame, had the ability to put a bayonet on them.
Yep.
So when push came to shove, you're down to that last 50 yards. Guess what? Now you're in a ground fight, right, with
tight.
A bayonet. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So that's where most injuries were actually afflicted, apparently. So anyways, we have to go into our first mandatory break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation here about the Minuteman and the weapon systems that they use versus the Minuteman and the weapon systems we have today. Stay tuned with us here at 97.5 FM, 660 AM. You're with Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be right back after this break.
The Tanana Herb Company, relieving stress in Fairbanks since 2016. Proud sponsor of
Fox News. I'm John Saucier. Congressional Democrats out with a report accusing President Trump of hijacking America's 250 celebration. California Congressman and ranking member of the House Natural Resources Committee, Jared Huffman.
We should be celebrating this anniversary together with patriotism and integrity. This milestone was paid for by every generation that built this country. Trump has tried to quietly steal it, warping it into a celebration for one man.
That video posted on the committee's YouTube page. The Supreme Court struck down President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship. Florida Republican Representative Carlos Jimenez tells Fox Business he agrees with the ruling, but Congress must act to stop the abuse of birthright citizenship.
This cottage industry of bringing people in to have a baby in the United States and then go back to their native country, I think that's an abuse, and it's something that the framers of the 14th Amendment never contemplated.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports a new option for air travel took off in Kenai this week as Fox Air celebrated the grand opening of its operations at the Kenai Municipal Airport on Monday, June 29th. The event welcomed community members to meet the Fox Air crew, enjoy food and refreshments, and learn more about the airline's new service connecting Kenai and Anchorage. Fox Air representative Brandy Garaki said the airline is currently operating a 9-seat caravan on the route, offering passengers a comfortable, convenient way to travel. The airline is offering multiple flights between Kenai and Anchorage with the current schedule, including early morning and afternoon departures. Garaki said the airline is looking at adjusting flight times based on passenger demand. Tickets are currently priced at $145 per seat, with promotional discounts available for special events, including this upcoming 4th of July. The airline was established in 2012 and expanded its operations in 2020. For more information or to book a flight, visit foxairalaska.com.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Interreden, great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, with Shooter's Corner. Hey, when we left, we were talking about the Minuteman, and this is our special edition for the 4th of July weekend that we have coming up in America's 250th anniversary. Oh, yeah, what were we supposed to call it there, Matt? Matster?
Charlesville.
No. What? Yeah, that too. No. What did we call it earlier? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking it up. Hold on.
It's a semi-quincentennial? A semi-quincentennial? Is that what they call it?
Quarter millennial celebration.
Yeah. The established term, however, is semi-quincentennial or... Yeah, okay. This derives from the Latin root semi, half, quinque, five, and centennial relating to 100 years. So collectively denoting 250 years, it is a terminology adopted by the United States Semi-Quincentennial Commission, America 250, and the official planning bodies of the national commemoration in 2026. I thought that was interesting. Because he was calling it Craig was calling it a quarter millennial, wasn't he?
Yeah, quarter millennial.
Yeah. Which is accurate as well.
Let's not give it to him.
Well, I know. We don't give him a lot. He's short. So making the phrasing both mathematically accurate and accessible to the general audience. So, yeah. But it's actually called the semi-quincentennial. Anywho, back to our Minuteman as we go down another rabbit hole. Hey, that's what you love about this show. We're just full of good and useless information. All right. Moving on. So the Minuteman. 250 years later, the tools have changed dramatically, but the spirit that sent him out that door must never change. Today on Shooter's Corner, we're talking about the arms of 1776 versus the arms we have now, and why the spirit of the Minuteman is more important than ever. In 1775 and 1776, there was no single American military rifle. We kind of talked about that, and also why we used the Brown Bess, which was a 75 caliber smoothbore flintlock. And then later, the Continental Army received thousands of the Charleville muskets from France. Maybe that's about the only thing the French ever did.
Napoleon, they don't win anything, do they?
No, not anymore.
They can't win soccer, can't win their own Olympics.
Ooh, snap. Ooh,
tough. Mm-hmm. We own it now. It's soccer now. No more football. We're calling it...
We can only get away with that if we win the World Cup. But anyways. All right.
We're dominating.
So the Continental Army received thousands of those muskets in 69 caliber and considered a bit more refined, still smoothbore, still flintlock. Some American marksmen carried the famous Pennsylvania or Kentucky long rifle. They were rifle barrels that gave them real accuracy out to 200 or 300 yards. These rifles were deadly in the hands of men like Daniel Morgan's riflemen, but they were slower to load and didn't have a bayonet. That's why when they got up close to you, you just pulled out your Bowie knife.
Yeah.
And then went to cut.
Or a hatchet.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson style.
Yeah. Wolverines! Well, they didn't have Wolverines back then. Anyway, yeah. The animal existed, but not the team.
Close enough.
Anyways, they were skirmishing weapons, not line infantry weapons. Yeah, because why get close to them when I can shoot you at a distance?
Yep.
The average Minuteman or militiaman might have grabbed an old fowling piece or a family musket. Ammunition was paper cartridges with a single lead ball. Misfires were common. Barrels fouled quickly, and when the powder ran out or the flint broke, the bayonet often decided the fight. But here's what mattered more than the gun itself. The spirit of that man. He wasn't a professional soldier. He was an ordinary citizen who believed his liberty and his family's future were worth risking everything for. He didn't wait for permission. He didn't wait for someone else to do it. Oh my gosh. Imagine that. He picked up his arms and stood his ground when his government, the most powerful empire on the earth at that time, tried to disarm him and his neighbors. That is the spirit of the Minuteman. Self-reliance, readiness, a willingness to defend liberty with whatever tools were at hand. And an understanding that freedom is not free and it is not guaranteed. It must be actively preserved by prepared citizens. Pretty profound.
Yeah.
Yep. Picked up his arms, stood his ground when his government, the most powerful empire on earth at that time, Great Britain, tried to disarm him. Fast forward 250 years. Today, a responsibly armed citizen has access to firearms a Minuteman could only dream of. Can you imagine? That would be wild. What was that movie where the aircraft carrier went back in time? You remember that?
Oh.
The Final Countdown, maybe it was? I think where it, like, went through some time warp or whatever.
I'm gonna have to look this
anyways,
up.
And so the F-18s were, like, against the Japanese, like, aircraft.
Okay, can you imagine
during
that,
during Pearl Harbor? Yeah.
Yeah, it is the final countdown.
Yeah. Jeez. If you could go back in time with the technology that we have now, it'd be insane.
Imagine handing George Washington
AR.
An AR, even an AR-10. Or a bolt action.
Which is less powerful than the AR-15.
Yeah.
According to some...
liberal science. Yeah.
Yeah. I have an AR-5. Okay, so the modern defensive rifle, something like the AR-15 platform and 5.56, is lightweight, ergonomic, and semi-automatic. With a quality optic, a trained shooter can hit precisely at distances where the Brown Bess was little more than an area rifle. Magazines hold 30 rounds instead of one. Reloads take seconds instead of a minute or more of ramming a ball down a fouled barrel. Modern handguns, reliable 9mm pistols, give everyday carry capability that didn't exist in 1776. You probably could have won that entire war with a Glock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Glock with a drum, you know? Just
yeah, really without the select
switch. Maybe an FRT, but yeah.
Weapon-mounted lights let you identify threats in the dark. Red dot sights make fast, accurate shots possible under stress. Suppressors, which we should be able to own without excessive government interference, protect hearing and reduce signature. The differences are massive. Accuracy and effective range, rate of follow-up shots, ammunition capacity and speed of reload, reliability in all conditions, ergonomics and accessories that actually help the shooter perform better. Technology has given us dramatically better tools. There's no question about that. But here's the key point on this 250th anniversary. The arms have changed. The spirit must not. The Minuteman didn't win because he had the best gun on the battlefield. He won because he had the will, the readiness, and the moral courage to use what he had in defense of liberty. Today we have far superior firearms. That means we also carry a greater responsibility. Staying proficient, or better yet, getting professional training isn't just about personal skill, it strengthens our entire country. When more citizens are trained and capable, we have a stronger deterrent against those who would threaten our families or our freedoms. We reduce accidents and negligent discharges. We raise the level of responsible gun ownership in our communities, and we pass on to the next generation, our kids and grandkids, the same understanding the Minuteman had. That liberty requires citizens who are ready to defend it. Say that again. Liberty requires citizens who are ready to defend it. Training isn't about turning everyone into a soldier. It's about keeping alive the Minuteman mindset in a modern context. Self-reliance, preparedness, and the quiet confidence that comes from knowing you can protect what matters most. That spirit applied with today's tools makes America stronger. It makes our constitutional republic more resilient. It honors the men who stood on Lexington Green 251 years ago by refusing to let their sacrifice become just a story we tell once a year. As a 24-year Army infantry veteran, I've carried modern arms in defense of this Constitution. I've also stood in the cemeteries of Belgium and seen what happens when free people are no longer willing or able to defend what they have. The Minuteman spirit didn't end in 1783. It continued through every generation that answered the call. It continues today in every citizen who decides to get trained, stay proficient, and live as a free and responsible American. This 4th of July, as we celebrate 250 years of independence, I challenge you. Don't just wave the flag, live the spirit. Get trained. Keep your skills sharp. Train the next generation. And never forget that the right to keep and bear arms exists because ordinary citizens once picked up whatever arms they had and refused to surrender their liberty. From Fairbanks to wherever you're listening, have a safe and meaningful Independence Day. All right, Mattster. That's my Independence Day speech.
You know, I was just having a conversation with someone at work before coming over here and talking with them. And I think one of the things that has really messed up the last few generations for having the ability to pick up what is right and wrong versus what is just compliance is the first things you're taught in school is sit down, stay quiet, don't talk until you're spoken to, listen to the rules, do all this, which in the grand scheme of things, yes, has, you know, an implication in a meeting for what it is. In the same hand, you're building complacency at such a young age that you continue it on, because a lot of people are lacking critical thinking skills and thinking, is what I'm about to do the right thing, or is it going to have a positive outcome? They don't even get to that. They just think, oh, that's not me. I got to walk off and do something else. It's not my problem. And I think that's where we start to lose a lot of the our American foundational values of standing up to the bully, standing up and being the bigger man, standing up and doing what's right for your family and for your peers and your community that you've had. And I think it all started at some point. So I'm glad to see more people are starting to understand that now and get into a better position. But I do feel like we have fallen off, and it's time to get back to being as great as we are already, just on all fronts.
We need to make sure that we develop our tribe.
Absolutely.
And then stay with your tribe.
Absolutely.
When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the tribe, because there is a psychological dependence on tribal, like, connections. I'll explain when we come back after this break. Thank you for listening to us here at Shooter's Corner. If you missed any part of it, feel free to go to the archives, check it out. We'll be right back after this break.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms today. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 74. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Lows level off around 51. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, and we got Matt. We're here at Shooter's Corner. Great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. The nice sunny skies. It is awesome. And hopefully we don't have that R word that pops up this weekend, but I kind of hope we do.
A revolution.
No, not revolution. Rain. But nonetheless, I kind of hope we do, because we need to make sure that our, I don't know, our breathing abilities stay clear. And we know what happens if we don't have a lot of rain around here, and we have thunderstorms and then lightning strikes, and then next thing you know, we have fires, and that sucks.
And I think with that, this year we've had a lot more rain early on than we did last year. And while I understand that with cloud coverage, it is warmer because it's trapping the heat, but it feels so much cooler than it did this time last year. So much cooler.
I woke up a couple days ago and it felt like September.
Yeah. Yep.
It was chilly.
Yeah. We leave our windows open at night. We have, you know, the window AC units, but we'll pop the other ones open. And I have to sleep under two blankets now. It gets cold. That wind starts to kind of pass through.
I sleep so much better, though, that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have to have a fan on, like, constant background noise.
But it's been scientifically proven. But the nice, cool air, yeah. Yeah, it's been proven that you sleep better in a cold setting.
Yeah. Well, start on with your thing, because I'm going to come back to this tribal thing here in a second. I'm kind of looking up something here real quick as we transition into this next stage of our conversation, reference of Minuteman. I want to talk about how we become insensitive to events that are around us, because statistically, psychologically, I was like, listening. All right, so just to give you the foundation, I was listening to a guy named Chase Hughes on a podcast, and he was talking about how the human mind is traditionally programmed and cannot deal with more than 120 relationships, like at any one time.
Yeah.
That was the general size of our tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you tended to pay attention to your tribe. You worked within your tribe. You associated with people in your tribe. You got along. You knew the names of everybody in your tribe. Because being able to do that was part of your survival mechanism.
Yeah.
If you did not associate or be productive, or you did something wrong, or you got kicked out of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then what happened? Well, another tribe wouldn't accept you because you got kicked out of the other tribe. And this isn't Survivor Island, by the way. All right. You get kicked out of the tribe. And now what happens? You can't find food. You can't, you know, you don't have a support base. You can't regenerate your genes, meaning you can't have sex, right? And so your bloodline essentially dies.
Yeah.
I think what's happening now, though, especially with social media, that people are like, oh, I got like 1,000 friends. You don't have 1,000 friends.
No. You're not keeping up with 1,000.
Dude, that might be dealing with your dopamine hit for the day. You, right? Like, you still have, you know, your 1 or 2 friends.
They see what they show
your
you.
Your mom as she brings you a bologna sandwich into the basement, right? So.
My nuggets.
my nuggies.
My nuggies.
But I think it's important that people like get tied in with those around them that have the same social ideology. Whatever. I'm talking is hard today.
When they think the same things you think, or on like
there you go. Let's break it down infantryman style.
No, but and I completely agree too, because while you were talking about this, I was thinking about it. We have had such a progressive boom in the last 100 years. Realistically, I think why it hurts people now more than ever is we haven't evolved yet to get out of that tribe need mentality.
Oh, beautiful. I'm glad you just said that. Hold on. Let me jump on that. Our brain has never evolved. It is still the same size in the same brain housing group, right? It has not got an extra wrinkle on it or anything else. It's just flooded with more stupid stuff.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Like, because it hasn't.
No, and my thought with it is, you know, social media it provides that false narrative that you have a community, but you're not engaging with these people. You're not actively physically going and meeting with people. That's why a lot of things happen and people take things so hard. It's because they don't have a good foundation to work off of. But I mean, you look at 100 years ago, yes, cars were starting to become more prevalent. We started to develop air travel and all this good stuff. Cities started to get bigger, but a majority of the world was still, and like you said, we can only talk with or manage about 120 relations. Most towns were that size, if not smaller. You had these, the whole country was just essentially rural developments. So you were able to maintain that. There was a sense of community pride and all that. And then as things have gotten on and there's no longer a need to go walk up to your neighbor's house, ask them for sugar, and then have a 10-minute conversation. Now it's you text it or you order it immediately. So it's a lot harder to maintain those things. But I absolutely agree. You have to have a community.
Amazon or some other place can, you know, like deliver it within an hour a drone.
I'm glad they got rid of those Amazon buttons. It used to be you had something that you constantly ordered. You pressed a button that you put in your wall, and then it would order it for you like that, really dulling things down.
So just kind of like looking at this from the big scheme of things, right? So anthropologist Robin Dunbar predicted that the human mean group size was approximately 148. Now, put this in context. What's the size of a normal infantryman's company?
Normal infantry? Depends. About, I'd say 100 to 120.
Yeah. You know why?
It's a tribe.
It's a tribe.
Yep.
It helps develop that cohesion. All right. So, believe it or not, organizational structures and military units, corporations, some religious communities have historically and deliberately limited primary groups around 150 or 120 members to preserve cohesion, visibility, and engagement. Because that's all the amount of like relationships that we can develop. And if you get any larger than that, then you don't have that reciprocity and loyalty and emotional connections, you know? So I was thinking back to that after I read that the other night, and it was like, man, that's like profound. Like, and I made that context before I even read it. Like, man, that's maybe the reason why companies in the military are like at that number.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me. It's nothing more than just maybe somebody thought about that back in those days. But anywho, I mean, this study, it doesn't show when this study was actually done by British anthropologist Robin Dunbar, But I mean, I could probably pull it up. I'm not going to because it's mute. But I want to get back to what your point was about community building for collective strength and how those strong networks foster that mutual aid, shared defense, resilience, embodying that American spirit and stuff. So yeah. If you want, Matt, go ahead and talk about that a little bit because that ties directly into that Minuteman mindset that we have here on our 250th anniversary.
Absolutely. So I'm a huge proprietor in building a community. I think that's extremely important. And while, you know, it is easier now to off the rip build something that can get pretty large pretty fast, it's a lot harder to maintain that community size or keeping it to where it's the same thing that's happening over and over again. The reason being is the economy and everything like that. But at its basis, building a community is the most important thing you can do. One, like you just said, you know, there's a shared defense in that you feel like you're owed something and you owe something to these group of people. But the other side of it, building that community, it's not even just networking. Like you're not going on LinkedIn or whatever. It's these people that you're constantly doing things with, you're constantly engaging with. And with that, building a community, you want assets, right? You want to be an asset, but you want assets, people who are able to weld, do automotive work, medical. I mean, all these things, homesteading, growing whatever you need to grow, doing those things and building that strong local community is fostering mutual aid. And again, that shared defense and resilience, it embodies the American spirit of
independence.
Independence. And then, you know, there is a sort of community patriotic defense of independence. The American founding was built on self-reliant citizens armed and prepared to defend against tyranny. Firearms proficiency, fitness, practical skills, and community readiness echo the revolutionary ethos. An informed, capable populace serves as the ultimate check on tyrannical forces, whether foreign or domestic. I have to say that. Foreign or domestic. This tradition upholds the principles of the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, where free people maintain the means to secure their God-given rights. And when you do that, you have a broader resilience against uncertainty. In disasters, unrest, or systemic breakdowns, these elements allow Americans to protect their families, support their communities, and sustain freedom without waiting for external salvation, embodying the resilient, independent character that defines the nation.
One of the things you just said out of that was external salvation.
Yeah.
The people that think that, oh, the government's going to come and save us. Look, I can't say how many times we have said this on the show, but you are your own cavalry.
Yeah.
Like you have to, whether it's just you individually or with your tribe of people. And that's why I'm like a huge, like, I'm starting to gravitate more towards the idea of like life groups.
Yeah.
Like we have some friends down in Arizona who have what they call a home church. And they built this little small community or tribe of people that they meet on Sundays or whatever days that they want to, right? And they have barbecues or whatever. And they have the same faith, obviously, right? And they meet and they have – each one of those people have like something that they can contribute to the tribe.
Yeah.
Right? I've also seen other people too to where they're like, oh, yeah. You a dentist? Yeah. You a medical doctor? Yeah.
Yeah.
You a plumber? Yeah. You an electrician? Yeah. And they're building these tribes based on what skill sets are.
Cool. Let's all hang out.
Yeah. We need somebody who's a communication expert.
Yep.
Right? Who's a ham radio operator? Who can set up our comms for us and stuff like that? I mean, it's just, it exists. And we're not talking about prepper organizations. We're not talking about organizations, you know, like the Michigan militia where they're trying to overthrow or whatever, right? Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who understand that the government at one point or in time is not going to be able to help them, so therefore they know how to help themselves.
I feel like here
that is the Minuteman mentality.
It absolutely is, and I feel like here more often than not it's more of a foundational need than anywhere else because you are self-reliant. You have to be in, especially
in Alaska.
Helicopters can't get to you as easily, you know, all that stuff. But I think if you're sitting here going, well, how do I build my community, my tribe, my whatever, go to church. You already have, and it's the easiest thing you can do, you already have a foundational support setting. It doesn't matter what your religion is, but you already have the foundation of we all are here for the same thing. And you're going to find more often than not people that share the same or very close ideals that you do. And guess what? They know more people who know the same. And that's how you can slowly start to build all this thing up to benefit yourself.
So remember on this 4th of July, just don't wave the flag. You got to live the spirit. Remember, keep getting trained. Keep your skills sharp. Teach the next generation. And never forget that the right to keep and bear arms exists because ordinary citizens once picked up whatever arms they had and refused to surrender their liberty. Hey, whether you're in Fairbanks or you're listening to us from abroad, have a safe and meaningful Independence Day. What you got, Matt?
Stay free and stay American.
Yeah, absolutely. We love our listeners. If you miss a show, go back, listen to our archives. It'll be on there. Have a safe weekend. Peace out.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim.